from the Green Room Radio Studios, located next to a cornfield somewhere in central Illinois, it's the Green Room. And now, here's your host, Vilmos.
It's the Green Room. It's the Green Room. Green Room Radio.
Hey, everybody. You've made it once again. It's the Green Room. I am Vilmos, your host. Thank you very much for listening. The Green Room is the anchor podcast at greenroomradio.net. It is also the largest and longest running podcast on stand-up comedy that you will be finding on the internet. Forgive me. I have a little bit of a cold right now, or sinus. I don't know what I got. My nose is plugged up. In any case, thank you very much for listening. Those of you that do so through subscriptions on iTunes, Stitcher, or the RSS feed, we're also grateful about those. And can I ask you a favor? If you like the show, please pass it along to a friend. That's the only way these podcasts get heard about, because we can't afford to buy advertising or any of that other fancy stuff. Pretty much, I got to depend on you. So help me out if you get the chance, if you like what I'm doing. All right, this week, it's going to be great. It's Rocky with Tool. Now, this is Rocky's, I think, third time on the show, and I'm going to tell you, Rocky is like a ball of energy. This dude cannot sit still. I start off with a comment in this one about, you know, how watching him on stage basically tires me out. I don't say that, actually, but I do allude to it. Because the dude has so much energy, it's amazing. And really, it's kind of funny because this is only like a 30-minute interview. And as we get towards the end of it, you can see he's lost his focus and he's like cleaning his desk. You can hear the papers rustling. You can hear him throwing away stuff, opening drawers. He's still talking because, you know, he's in the game. It's not like he's not listening or he's not, you know, responding to what I'm saying, and everything he says is coherent, but the dude can't sit still. You see this guy on stage, and he's the same way, constantly moving. I'm telling you, actually, I'm worn out thinking about it, but I'll tell you this about him. Very good comic. Made some drastic changes to his act, which we talk about. It's a very interesting interview, and I hope you enjoy it. Ladies and gentlemen, here he comes with all of his force. It's Rocky with Tool. So here's the thing, Rocky. I was thinking about this just before I called you. If I had to have your energy level to be a comic, I would not be in stand-up comedy.
What? Now, why is that?
Because I can't bounce around the stage like you do. Jesus Christ. I mean, I'm not saying this in a bad way. You expend so much energy while you're doing stand-up comedy. It just really, it amazes me. On many levels that you're able to sustain that, and especially night to night.
Well, you know, it's I think growing up, where a lot of kids were diagnosed with ADD, I was just, you know, I was put into karate is what I, you know, my parents paid for somebody else to knock me around because they couldn't keep me focused. But if you harness that kind of power, you know, with great power comes great responsibility, My responsibility was making people laugh and bringing whatever message I have to the world.
Well, yeah, but I'm a sniper when it comes to that. I mean, if left to my own devices and I'm not the you know, the comic on stage, I'm the guy that throws in the tagline. You
right.
Say something, and then I throw in the tagline. So it was a real struggle for me to take that attitude from playing off of other people. And be able to transform it into something that goes on its own, you know, that can stand alone.
It's good and it's bad, Vilmos. I mean, I had some small little roles on the new show Sullivan and Son. Steve Burns, a buddy of mine, we play hockey all together, you know. And so I'm sitting on set and I'm tagging the jokes, the script, you know, and I'm writing them down and sliding them over to the writers. And I don't know if you've written a script for TV or worked on TV before. It's different, Vilmos. It's not like what we know it as.
Yeah.
Where if somebody wrote you a joke, you'd be like, "Hey, man, that's great, thanks." That's like going up to Picasso and being like, "Hey, maybe you should try this color.
Well, yeah, dude, I know. I was asked by somebody to punch up a script, and I had never done that before.
Right.
And so they'd sent me one, and I did it, and they were very happy with all the stuff that I'd done. So they send me a second one, and I read this thing, and I'm halfway through, and I've read nothing funny.
Right.
And I have to send this awkward email that basically has a disclaimer at the beginning of it going, hey, man, I'm just wondering, am I not supposed to like any of this? Because I know I don't know what I'm doing. Because I've done one, and that's all I've done. I'm not presenting myself as any kind of expert, but I have found none of this funny, and I don't want to offend anybody.
How did that go for you?
You know what? The dude, he's a friend of mine, and he knows me, thank God. He goes, well, this is, you got the first generation of the script. And he went on to explain that they were talking more about the ideas than the funny. So what they were trying to do is they were trying to get down.
So did you tell him, all right, that's great. So now that you're monkeys, why don't you call me when you've turned it into man?
Well, right, yeah, more or less. I said, okay, fine. I said, what do you want me to do? And he says, go ahead and make changes. So I rewrote the first two thirds of the script. And they accepted like 90% of what I wrote, which really surprised me.
Well, that's good.
Well, it is good in the sense that, yeah, but, you know, on the other hand, I don't know, no offense to my friend. I love him and all, but I don't think they're anybody important. I don't think anybody's ever going to see any of this stuff. Or maybe it's going to be it's more like a web short. It's not really
That's the way the industry is now. These web shorts, which are just, they're crazy, man. That's the best way to put it. Television is no longer, it used to be, I mean, almost, you're what, 35? How old are you?
How old is your father?
Well, my father passed away. But
oh,
he was,
well, I'm sorry.
I know. You know what? My dad was a great man, and we'll talk about him in a little bit. Another reason why I cleaned everything up, my dad passed away 3 days after my second son was born, about 16 months ago.
Dude.
And I kept in very, very good spirit. I had to perform in Fort Wayne, Indiana, which, by the way, I think that's where – is that the hotel where they have
my photo next to the vending machines?
Yes. I'm there in my boxers.
Well, let me tell you something about that. But can you do me a favor? You need to put in some earbuds because you're echoing on my end. But,
I am so sorry.
No worries. You have no idea. But I'm going to tell you something. After you tell me your thing, I will tell you what happened to me, and you're going to really be stunned. Go ahead.
All right. Hold on 1 second. Let me grab my earbuds.
All right. Folks, for those of you listening, the echo is the bane of the audio existence.
It is. And I'm so used to it. I mean, on the – here, this will work. That'll do it. Nope, wrong one. There we go. That should be better. You know, you'd never know that. Perfect. I do a daily radio show. When I did it, you'd never think that I do this every single day.
Well, you know what, then, folks, that means he doesn't have his cans on. See, that's the inside radio thing that they used to call headphones.
They were called cans. Now cans are used for different other terms. It's just horrible.
Exactly. But, so you, my picture. I get more people calling me from that damn hotel. Because of where they put my photo. It's like Dennis Blair calls me out of the clear blue sky. Hey, man, I'm looking at your photo. Jesus Christ.
It's creepy, too, man. It's just that was 2 days. I want you to know that Bubba Bradley, who, you know, we've changed the way they do things in Reno now. You know, that's no opening act and headliner, just headliner.
Right.
And Bubba usually travels with me everywhere because I'm just going to soak it up until I start opening for him because he is hysterical. And folks, go to BubbaBradley.com. Google him if you don't believe me. He's funny and he's fat, and those always go hand in hand, funny and fat. But he was there, and it was, you know, my dad's funeral was on Wednesday, and Thursday night we're doing that the night shift taping,
sure,
Craig Ferguson. So Bubba kept my spirits up really high because I was just, I was in a, you know, not necessarily a bad place. I mean, my dad, you know, I know where he went. You know, I know his faith, and I he was up in heaven, and so it was a bittersweet thing for me. But really depressed. I think I went to go get a candy bar or whatever at 2 in the morning, and There's Vilmos wearing a sweater vest.
So I don't think it was a sweater vest, but yes, what? It was probably an awful photo of me. It was a tank top. Yeah.
That was a tank top?
Yes, it was.
It looked like a sweater because it was wide. It wasn't like wife beater tank top. It was like
Rocky. I'm not a small man. I'm not a small man. Now,
it brought joy. It brought joy to my life.
I can't even imagine why. But let me tell you what happened to me in Fort Wayne to give you an idea how the universe works. The day that my father passed, I did a show in Fort Wayne.
No,
I watched. I will say this, and I've said it before, so people that have been listening a long time will know this. But for you new guys, my father, I went up to visit my father in a hospital. He was 91 years old. I had no idea that this was going to happen. He was on the second floor of this hospital. My mom was on the fourth floor. And I was going in to say goodbye to him, not forever, just because I was heading through on my way to Fort Wayne. And I'd gone up and said goodbye to my mom and walked down as they were taking the crash cart in to work on my dad. And I actually watched my dad pass, which was a real surreal experience. I went back upstairs, told my mom, took care of all the, you know, all the calls. And the last call I was going to make was to Snickers. And I was getting ready to call. And my mom said, who are you calling? I said, well, I'm calling Snickers. She said, what are you calling them for? I said, because I'm going to cancel the date. She goes, why are you canceling the date? What are you going to do? Sit here in the hospital and watch me? Go. So I got in my car and I made it there 10 minutes before showtime. Went up and did my show. And that was what I did on the day that my dad passed.
See, that's heart, and that's what these young comedians don't have, Vilmos. You know that.
Well, I found out there's a lot of guys that have done stuff when they're in their grief, you know, about a father or a whoever that's important to them. You know, that's part of what we do when we're comics. That's how we deal with our grief.
Right.
So.
Oh, that's very true. I mean, you. A lot of the greats that we know, they did this to numb the pain when then run out of cocaine or alcohol, whatever their vice was.
Yeah. Now, we didn't get back. How old was your father when he passed?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. My father was 70. I got to do the math now. He was 76, 77.
Okay. Well, thank God. I thought he'd be around my age because I'm 55.
Yeah. No, you're definitely much younger than your about the same age as my oldest brother.
Okay, so there's a wide expanse between the first and the last, huh?
Yeah, there's 18 years between he and I, and then there is 12 years between Michael, who's also a comic, and I. So yeah. there's 12 years between us.
Well, your dad's got a lot more energy than I do when he was my age. I'm not going to have any more kids, I can promise you that. So let's talk about one of the things you're talking about doing radio every day. How's the rock and wrap up going?
Well, the wrap up's gone through some dynamic changes. We were doing the video version of it, and due to lack of funding, that's what we say in the industry, of ran out of money.
Sure,
that's the way of putting it. So we just do it radio. We're still on about I would say 20-25 different markets. And Hadley is now in charge of Sterling Media. It's named after my youngest. And Jason Hadley, who's a brilliant comedic writer, phenomenal comedian. And I'm just blessed to be able to get to work with him every single day. And, you know, by 2-3 o'clock every morning, we have them written and uploaded and sent out to the radio stations. I try to get them recorded the day before. You know how radio is. And it's been fun. We've cleaned it up a little bit. We really started pushing those jokes that weren't necessarily, they weren't shock, you know, they weren't, I'm drawing a blank on at Howard Stern. There weren't Howard Stern shocking. They were just, you know, PG-13 to R rated jokes. And we pulled back from that and went to stuff that you could tell your grandmother and should laugh at. And that's, I enjoy being there. I have a lot of fun being there. I used to laugh and I used to cringe when comedians said this, but it's the truth. If you can make an audience laugh and you don't have to be dirty, you're a great comedian and you're blessed with that talent. I didn't. So if you thought I bounced around before Hard on Stage, Vilmos, now I really got to. Now I've got to. I got to Dane Cook it now.
You're probably gonna, you know, you're gonna become a prop comic, and it's gonna be a pogo stick. That's the only prop you're gonna have. You're gonna be bouncing around on that thing.
Prop comics are like, they're like the movie Highlander. There can only be one. I think who's left? There's the amazing wid, Joe Lowers out in Vegas.
Is Joe a prop guy?
You never knew that?
I did not know that because I've never seen Joe do comedy. I've only seen Joe at the World Series of Comedy.
You know, a lot of people would say I've seen him perform thousands of times, and I've still never seen him do comedy. And I hope he listens to this. Joe, you know, Joe is one of my mentors and one of my very, very close
I know friends. He's a good dude. He's very, very supportive of comics everywhere, too. That's the nice thing about Joe.
And I love busting him. But no, yeah, he used to do this. One of his signature bits was he would do famous people's toothbrushes. And
really?
It was so silly. And like he'd always go, was it Ross or Colonel Sanders' toothbrush? And there was a rubber chicken taped to one of these oversized toothbrushes.
Really?
And every time he'd pull it out, Joe would laugh harder than the audience. And then he would just go, come on, when you pull a rubber chicken out of a bag, that's a guaranteed laugh. And the audience would just lose it because it was so silly. He had a toothbrush with a cigar on it. And of course, that was Bill Clinton's toothbrush. That's what it was. And it was, he also had an Emmy. He had an Oscar attached to a toothbrush, and he said, it's Susan Lucci's toothbrush. He said, this is actually an Oscar. What she won was an Emmy, but those things are hard to find. Those things are hard to get. Just ask her. So, I mean, there was jokes behind it, but he started off, he was a prop comic. He used to pull stuff out of a bowling bag.
Oh, boy. Now look at him. He's got his own show in Vegas. He's in a brand new showroom, which I have not seen yet. But
I hear it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. Which is he deserves it. I'm glad I want him to be successful.
Well, here's the thing about Joe. He basically went out there to make his own way. He didn't go out there to try to pony up with everybody else in that. He went out there to find a room, build a room, and he made a place for himself to perform.
Yes. And a lot of guys at Four Wall their shows, and four walling for the people at home, four walling means you front all the money and you do your own show. And that's what people don't know. Here's the behind the scenes, behind the magic, what Vegas, what a lot of guys do. And Vilmos, you know this, so I apologize for telling you something you know. This is for the audience. What they do is before they get to the Mirage or before they get to anywhere huge, they start downtown on Fremont Street, or they're at O'Shea's, or they're at a small little casino. And majority of the time, 99% of the time, they put up their own money, and then they take the ticket sales at the door to recoup their money until a casino says, wow, they're doing this all on their own marketing budget, and they're bringing in, you know, a couple hundred thousand a year. We could give them $1 million, and we could turn that into $5 million plus and sell out every show every night. So we're going to take them from Fremont Street and then bring them over to the Mirage.
Right.
And then the Mirage, you know, the MGM steps in and goes, well, I'm going to give you $10 million and I'll turn that into $20 million. We're going to up the ticket prices. And that's how Danny Gans ends up being, you know, Entertainer of the Year, God rest his soul. But Danny got a job at a casino downtown, and I forget which one it was. I don't know if you remember, but he was getting paid less than, I want to say, maybe less than $1,000 a show, if that, and the casino was raking in. And this was, he was doing like a show a night. So basically he was making between $1,000 to $2,000 a week, which is really good money anywhere else in the world. In Vegas, that's not big money comparatively to what they're bringing in on their shows. But what Danny did is he was performing in the Midwest, and he took a video of him performing for the Promise Keepers, which is a Christian-based organization.
Yeah.
And it was at a baseball field. And the video was entitled, the VHS, this is how far back it's going. The VHS tape was entitled, Danny Gans and 5,000 of His Closest Friends.
Huh.
And the casino says, well, you know, we'll give you $2,000 a week. And you got to think, a casino losing $2,000 a week, that's that's not a lot of money.
No, it's nothing to them.
It isn't. So, but he did that for a good year, a year and a half, and Mirage is like, for a year, say goodbye to 2,000. We're going to bump you up to 20,000 a show, and we're going to sell it out. And then eventually he becomes, you know, entertainer of the year, and that bumps up the price too. And all these casinos, they did it right, because they're thinking all these Christian organizations that end up in Vegas for whatever seminar or whatever thing that goes on, they don't really drink. They don't really gamble that much. How can we get their money when they're in town?
Yeah.
Well, they figured it out. And so that's – Joe did it on his own. Joe's doing his front wall, and he's got from one room to the next, and it's going to be a stepping stone. He's going to get somewhere bigger until the casino comes through, and they basically buy out your show. And that's
well, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy and somebody that's worked very hard at what he's doing. So, you know, I sure hope he does. I was going to go to the World Series of Comedy, but had to tap out at the last minute with some other stuff that's going on.
See, that's one of the problems when it comes to being successful and helping out with friends. You know, you're successful, you help out with friends, and if something comes along that's, you know, that's going to pay the bills, you've got to – and Joe understands. A lot of guys don't. Joe does. You know, he's like, if you got something bigger coming along, I get it. I understand.
Yeah, well, mine wasn't even that. Mine was because of my distraction over the last month, I haven't been able to prepare what I was supposed to do. See, I was going to do a seminar on podcasting.
I still think you should.
Well, I can't focus myself on it. Because when you're I'm in a weird spot right now, which I don't want to get into. But, you know, in any case, let's talk about you turning over your act and getting away from the dark side.
Getting away from the dark side. I love it.
How long did it take you to expunge all of the whatever would be considered not – what? Are you going for absolute G-rated, or are you going for TV clean, which is different?
I'm going for family clean. I tell people that my son, if he repeats what I say and ends up in the principal's office, and then I go to the principal's office and they tell me what he says, I'm not allowed to laugh. It's very hard. I mean, he's already four, and if you ask him what an Indian says, he goes, "Oh," and then he says, "Jackpot," which is very funny. but you got to understand, you know, it's still considered quite racist. And, you know, I had him doing all kind of different things. What was the nice thing that he does is he'll come in and I'll say, you know, "What do you think?" And he goes, "Is it cute and adorable in here, or is it just me?" Now that's funny. That's adorable. Uh-huh. But it's the other stuff when he's like, you know, two Jews walk into a bar and they bought it. You know, that's a little harder to take down.
So how long did it take you to get all that? How long did it take you to get completely family friendly?
Well, we'll find out this week in Reno how it goes.
Uh-huh.
I've been performing, you know, for church groups as well as my, you know, my dirty act. And if you've seen the Late Show at the World Series, you know, I was notorious for my pumpkin pie jokes, which have all been the moment I said I'm not going to do this anymore. I wouldn't do another joke. I would rather just be on stage, have people walk out of there going, "Well, we had fun. He wasn't hysterical, but we had fun," than go against my commitment. And so I was up in Canada, and God will bless you in ways you never understand, Vilmos. I must have picked up another 15 minutes clean just about Canada. I played hockey in Canada when I was younger, but I never had to survive on my own in Canada. And we as Americans are really, I don't like to say the word, but comparatively to the rest of the world, we're retarded. That's the only – I got to find a better word, but we are uneducated. We are totally backwards on the fact that we think that the English way that we do things is the only way. I know I passed with flying colors in high school, but the metric system, forget it. I was useless. and, you know, coming over the border, and I'm like, gas is only $1.50? This is awesome. This is fantastic. Well, they're talking liters, you know?
Right.
There's four liters in a gallon. I'm like, how is gas? Well, how many gallons does this thing hold? And, of course, the Canadians are loving every minute that the fact that the Americans, you know, we don't have a clue. They love that. Absolutely love that. And, you know, that was January 1st. So I was there all week, and they love the clean stuff. The kids' toy is the only thing that had not been retired yet. So that's when I, you know, make the kids' toys be very dirty. That was the one thing that I held on to.
Uh-huh.
And it's done, and I have some more fun with the audience. More audience participation as opposed to look how great I am before I walk off stage, which I enjoy that more, and I think the audience does too. So for me, making that decision was overnight. It was almost, you know, Seinfeld. Bill Burr is a great, great buddy of mine. He plays hockey with us too on Tuesday nights, and he said, Rocky, he says, I'm working on my new hour. I got another special coming up. I got to do my hour. And I'm like, wow, that's got to be tough. And he's like, well, all the great ones do it. You know, you've got your act. You do it. You do an hour special. Now you got to start all over again. So it was quite inspirational.
Yeah, well, there's going to be a difference between your hour and Bill Burr's, because I'm pretty sure the word fag is going to be in Bill Burr's
of course,
hour
of
show.
Course, yeah. You know, he can come up with 8 dirty hours. I have one clean one I will milk for the rest of my career. You know, Jackson Purdue, I worked with him about 4 years or 4 different times in 7 different years. And that act verbatim for the times that I saw him, just didn't really change. You know, nothing wrong with that, but you get a clean act that stays, you don't have to, people keep coming back.
Well, I understand now, there's never going to be a time you do the dirty act. I mean, that's gone forever.
Gone forever. It's a term of my life. Gone forever. I've done it. I know I can do it. It's there's not a need for me to do it. And something else that just speaks to my heart, my spirit, is there's other young comics out there that need to learn, need to know, and they can do those gigs. There's plenty of gigs out there for the clean guys. There's plenty of corporate stuff out there for the clean guys, you know, unless God tells me I want you to be dirty again, I don't foresee it. I try to, even off stage, I'm cleaning up my act as a whole. I don't go and dance or stay at karaoke bars till close. I'm back home working on more clean jokes, working on family time. We just opened up a karate school here in Santa Clarita, so I'm back to teaching, and you know, concentrating on that stuff. The funny's still there. It's just looking at the world through different eyes.
Do you find that when you do these other projects, because I know I do, I have other things that I do, I find that it cuts my creative juices a little bit. And like, for example, I'm in the middle of a big web project right now because I do web stuff. And it really takes me away from being funny. You know, I have to get back to the funny, and I have to let my mind restart for that.
It depends if they can't go hand in hand. You know, I've done, for some research, I've done some part-time jobs that will drain you, and just, you know, you'll go home at the end of the day crying. But they're you know, I was doing research for webisodes. We don't even know if we're going to continue going with it, but it was for a webisode called Cold Call, where it's the people that just cold call photo, you know, those little boiler rooms, you're at a little cubicle making phone calls. And I was selling ink toner, and I'm like, I don't know if I can do this. You know, we're going to keep at it as much as we can. But, you know, it was tough. It was, and that was just, you know, that would pull my creative juices to almost empty. That really would. And there were some times where, you know, I'd have some fun because obviously it's a webisode. I don't want to make that company look bad. But, you know, I had an Indian woman call, and I told her we had a brand new toner where it's actually a mix of the natural graphite and curry. So everything you print will smell like curry, and the world is a happy place. And she bought everything that I was telling her. She was just, oh, yes, I love curry, you know. But that'll drain. That kind of stuff definitely drains your creative juices to nothing. But if you're doing, like, teaching karate, you got to be creative when you're keeping little kids' attention. So that kind of – that stuff goes hand in hand. Yeah. But, you know, I do understand what you're saying.
Yeah, well, I know that what you've got a lot going. You always have a lot going. You're a constant multitasker, which is
a good thing. It's a bad thing. It depends, you know.
Yeah, it can get in the way. But I'm happy to hear that you're doing okay, and I'm happy to hear that. I guess I'm happy to hear that you've gone all clean. I mean, I can't speak to you anymore after this, you know, because.
Well, you know,
I can only hang out with dirty comics. That's
and a lot of guys think that. Vilmos, let me tell you, I'm not comparing myself with Christ. There's no comparison at all. Uh-huh. But you know, if you read that book that's been around for a really long time, he hung out with the people that nobody else wanted to hang out with. Uh-huh. You know, the tax collectors of the day were worse than the politicians of our day. Nobody would hang out with a politician, but he did. You know, he hung out with hookers. You know, are you going to believe that? I can't believe that. So I don't stop myself from hanging out with my friends, whether they're clean or dirty. I'm just not going to, you know, I'm not going to repeat any of the jokes that I hear there. And if it's funny, funny's funny. I'm going to laugh.
So you'll still watch dirty humor and it won't bother you?
It depends. There, I definitely will watch it, and it's not that it doesn't bother me. I find myself watching a movie just going, ugh, they could have went this way with it. It would have been so much funnier. And, you know, even writing the jokes.
You know, you're starting to sound like my mom.
Ah! You know what? I'm starting to sound like my mom. That's what's even...
Why do you have to do the dirty jokes? I don't understand the dirty. Why do you have to do the...
You know, and it's just speaking the language. Funny's funny, and that's what everybody always said. You know, funny is funny. And doing, like, country club gigs, when I would do the country club gigs for Brad Reeder, man, he would look at me and say, I need you to do 20, 30 minutes clean. I don't care if you're not funny. Just be clean. And there was a reason for that. These are people that, you know, they don't want to be offended for whatever reason. And these are guys that are paying $250,000 for a country club membership.
Right.
So you don't want to offend them. And that was great practice and exercise for where I'm, you know, what I'm doing and where I'm at right now.
Well, you're in a good place. It sounds like everything's going okay for you. You're going to have a good time in Reno. In fact, they like you so much there. Not only are you there now, you're going to be there in December, I saw.
Yes. And the December date may be switched. So the listeners keep coming back. I think we're going to change the date on that because I just my wife is just got cast in this theater performance that week, and I really need to see her perform. I've because of the kids, and this is the first role she's gotten in quite some years. So well, it's knowing where the family comes first now.
Yeah, well, and that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, and you know what? You get it. A lot of comics, they don't get that. They don't understand. A gig, the club's going to be there. The club's going to be there the next year. Club's going to be there in November. It's a great club. It's why I keep coming back. So I can take different gigs. I mean, the Fort Wayne gigs we had to just switch around too. They're bringing me back, but we had to move those dates around. That's the problem with being successful. Is you get dates and then you have to switch again. And I'm blessed to have agents. I mean, and all the years you've been doing it, do you ever have an agent that gets upset when you have to call them and switch a date?
I've never had an agent. So.
An agent. Well, club owners. I'll call the club owners too. Club owners. They, you know, they get upset.
Dude, I'm too afraid that I'm never going to work there again. I never back out on my date, no matter what happens.
See, I've never backed out. There's a difference. I've never, ever backed out and said I won't do your club. I'll just say this is, and it's got to be for a good, a really, really good reason.
Yeah, well, I've never had one of those either. And when I say back out, I mean change the date. I didn't mean like actually not go. But no, I've been afraid to actually ask. In fact, I remember when I was an opener, I had a week scheduled in Albuquerque for $200, and a guy called me and asked me if I wanted to do a corporate one night for $800, and I told him no.
Well, no, that's different. That's when it's that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
No, that you don't do. I mean, When you have better money come along, no. It's when it's a once in a lifetime thing. You know, you haven't seen your wife perform in quite some years. What's another great reason? Oh yeah, maybe your son's being born. You know, my son came prematurely. Remington. Yeah. So that trip, I had to reschedule. So those are the kind of things. But for more money, I've turned down USO tours, cruise ships, corporates, many, many different events. Because I host the bar and bat mitzvahs out in LA, which is a lot of money, and people spend. I mean, it's very, very important, and I hold that at the same level I hold a stand up. You know, something for me. I know it's important for them, but I hold it as the same level I would hold something for me important. And never dropped out of any of those.
All right, how about that, huh? First interview. Now, I've had all kinds of weird-ass noises and things happen. Every once in a while, you hear dogs barking. I don't think I've ever had someone so openly just cleaning their desk while I was talking to him. But I don't mind. Rocky's a good dude. I always enjoyed talking to him. He's got a lot going. He's a good guy. Plus, he did this for me at the last minute because I've been all wrapped up in other things, as I have discussed in earlier episodes of this program. So he is going to be... God, this nose thing is killing me, folks. He's going to be a Cancer Rising Star in Reno from the 14th through the 19th of August. That's this Tuesday today through Sunday. Shows at 7:30 every night. You can, except for Fridays, they have a late show on Friday and Saturday night, which is at 10 o'clock. So 7:30 and 10 o'clock. You can get your tickets online at catcharisingstar.com. You can also get them at Ticketmaster. The Catch a Rising Star is located really in the nicest place in Reno. It's at the Silver Legacy Casino. It's on Virginia Street downtown. And you can call the Silver Legacy box office and get tickets there. It's 775-329-4777. And you can also learn more about Rocky at RockyW.com, which I'll also put up as a link on this show. But don't miss the show if you're in Reno, because I think you'll enjoy it for sure. And like I ask you guys, please support live comedy. That's the way you're supposed to watch it. If you cannot make it to see Rocky this weekend, go to a comedy club near you. Thanks for listening.
It's the Green Room. It's the Green Room. Green Room Radio.